Live in Nashville, Tennessee. You are listening to the Nashville Daily Podcast. Nashville's number one daily podcast. Brought to you by Think Nashville. Think Nashville. Think Brad. Think Brad. It's Nashville Daily Podcast.
Good morning, Nashville, and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I am your co-host, Stuart Deming, and joining me in studio is the man, Aaron Pennington. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Stuart. Just a reminder, if you are not subscribed here at Nashville Daily Podcast, the show is on YouTube and all the other podcast platforms. A lot of times people...
There's like 30 of them.
Well, a lot of times, you know, it's very interesting. A lot of times people... Podcasts have been around since the 90s.
Yeah.
Essentially, and people was like, hey, where can I find a podcast? And if you don't know, it's on just about every podcast platform that's out there, probably either Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts are the most common that you'll have access to very quickly. And then YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube if you are not there. If you're just a listener, we have the video version on YouTube as well. And if you're in your car, don't want to be on YouTube, make sure you are following or subscribing, whatever the platform calls for.
We're also
those other channels.
We're also reamping our website right now. So that's coming soon. A brand new website is coming sometime in the future.
Yes. So yeah. The old one is down.
The old one is down right now because we've been working on this new one.
While we fix the new one. All right. We've got a lot to talk about today about the shooting that happened yesterday. Before we get into that, if you are looking for property around the Middle Tennessee area or here in Nashville, you know our sponsor. You'd love him, Brad Reynolds of Think Nashville, Think Brad. You can reach out to him at thinkbrad.com. You can get in touch with him by calling or texting him, 615-856-3270. If you're looking to buy or sell in the Middle Tennessee area, Brad also has a ton of great expertise in the market that you can find on his YouTube channel, and that's at ThinkBrad on YouTube as well if you want to subscribe there. Also, after a day like yesterday, if you need a little pick-me-up in the morning, to get things going, then make sure you check out Blessed Day Coffee, one of our other amazing sponsors here at Nashville Daily. They have some of the most fresh and sustainable and best roasts in Nashville. And that's how Stuart and I, that's how we start our morning. And so if you're looking for a great caffeine pickup, and if you're looking for somebody who will give you free delivery in the Nashville area, then Blessed Day Coffee is who you need to go with. We have a couple partnership roasts with them that you can check out at blesseddaycoffee.com. They're absolutely incredible. I would encourage you to check them out. Give it to your friends, your family, your coworkers. You know, it makes a nice gift for anybody who loves coffee, which is, you know, 99% of everybody out there, hot or cold. They have options for both. And so they're amazing to work with. So go to blesseddaycoffee.com for all of your caffeine needs.
So yesterday morning at 10:13 a.m., there was a report of an active shooter in the Green Hills area at a private Christian school called Covenant. Is it just Covenant? The Covenant School?
Yes. So I believe it is
the Covenant School. That's what it's called.
The Covenant School. It's a school church combo.
Yeah. So we
private
have
school in Green Hills.
So we have a map right now of Google Maps, and just to show this where it is in Green Hills. So this is Green Hills right here. This little parkway right here. Let me zoom in.
Let's zoom out a little bit more. I want to see.
Let's do 3D.
Okay.
So
we can see like the Green Hills context and everything of where Green Hills is.
You can see these Green Hills. Okay. So let's see. Downtown is that way. So there's the church right here. And then downtown, that's probably what, a full 8 miles, 9 miles from downtown Nashville?
Probably. Maybe probably, 6 or 7.
Probably pretty close. Let's drop Greg down and see what happens. Okay, I don't think Greg's going to do it.
No.
But so this is where the shooting took place at 10:13 a.m. on Monday morning.
Yeah, so it's kind of intersecting between like the Green Hills and the West End area.
Yep.
Is where this is precisely. But a lot of you guys who are listening right now, you guys are always the ones who are on top of the news because you listen here, of course. And so there are a lot of details that you probably already know, but we're going to tell you some of the latest things that have kind of come in overnight as well and talk about those here for just a minute. So for some of the basics, just in case, you know, you decided that you didn't want to listen to anything, you're going to wait until everything comes in and then kind of hear.
That's smart. You need to be doing that.
In case you're like, I'm not going to do a play by play. I'm going to wait until the next day to hear more information. There's a good recap on News Channel 5 that we're going to be referencing, as well as a few other things, including some details about the shooter and some of the things that weren't really talked about until this morning were some of the texts that the shooter sent just before everything happened. So like Stuart said, on Monday morning, the police said they had a 911 call at 10:13 a.m. And the shooter arrived at the school in a Honda Fit and parked outside, kind of right by a side door. There is footage that the Metro National Police Department has released shows footage.
We'll link that in our show notes.
Where the shooter walked or just basically shot her way in a side door and she gained access to that door through just basically shooting through the door. From there, the shooter went upstairs to the second floor and shot at police through the windows. This is kind of after the 14 minutes of the time between 911 was called and the shooter walking through the school. That's when the shooter was confronted with police and kind of had a little bit of a shootout. And I guess they shot her from the second, like she was on the second floor. Police shot her from
the ground,
the ground, which is actually pretty incredible if they were able to do that. And two members of an officer team fired on the shooter. And those two officers, Rex Engelbert, a 4-year National Police Department veteran, and Officer Michael Calazzo, a 9-year National Police Department veteran. I think Stuart and I talked before the show. We're not going to mention the name of the shooter.
No.
But it's important that we honor those who passed. And so that list is on News Channel 5. And you can read that. It was Evelyn, I believe, I'm probably going to screw up some of these names. The Evelyn, age 9. I don't even know how to say her last name. Haley Scruggs, age 9. William Kinney, age 9. And one of them, I think, was age 8, about to turn 9.
Yes.
Cynthia Peake, 61. Catherine Cons, who I believe was the principal of the school, age 60. And Mike Hill, who was the janitor at the school. Now, a little bit of information about the shooter that I think is interesting. The shooter was female, which was something you don't see. That's a very different.
So I was reading the FBI statistics over the last since 2000, and I believe they are looking at 161 active shooter situations, and only 6 of them have been female.
Out of the how many?
Out of 161.
Wow.
2 of them were colleges and a few other places around the states.
Wow. So it's like 1-2% right there, I think.
Maybe even less.
Yeah.
We're not doing math right now.
This individual went to the Nazi College of Art and Design, which has been absorbed in the last year by Belmont. The shooter's 28 years old, so presumably graduated a few years ago. The shooter's home was searched by police
and
pretty much
the feds.
Yeah. FBI, yep. TBI, all of the institutions, probably the firearm institutions and everything like that. Shortly after, pretty much immediately after they identified who it was, police found a manifesto and the maps of the Covenant School, along with a second location that the shooter did not reach. And according to the press conference of Metro Police, one of the press conferences out of the many that they did, it was said that they had found that the other location was too much of a risk as far as they were, you know, too much security at that other place.
What was, so the question I have, because I didn't hear this until you told me this this morning, was there armed security guards walking outside of that other location?
They didn't release
it probably was
any more details
maybe
about
a public,
that.
Public school, potentially. I don't know.
Yeah.
But an armed civilization deters crime.
Well, so that's one of the things where it's interesting because, you know, we don't know the details of that second location. We don't know the details of what the deterrence was. And so there's a good chance that one of the things that if you watch the footage of the shooter entering the building, what you don't see, and this school, the Covenant School, they ran, according to police, they ran an active shooter drill just last year. And when the shooter enters the building, the fire alarm was off by the time that she walked in.
Yeah,
because I think she probably walked into something that had an automatically triggered.
Well, the window, or it had the when the window
right, the
shattered.
Sensors. Yeah. And so you could see the fire alarm going off in the building. Mm-hmm. And from the footage, it did look like they were in like an active shooter. The school like was in an active shooter
scenario.
Yep. To where lights were off, doors were shut. You know, we can only see as much as we can see from the footage, which obviously doesn't show anybody being shot at. It shows the shooter wandering through the halls. But it looks like that school did pretty much as they could do. But one of the differences may have been there wasn't a physical presence by a person, armed security there. And, you know, I'm just making assumptions off of the video that I saw, and that the place that was maybe a second location that determined not to go to there could have been because of physical presence of security. So we're not entirely sure
and they're never going to release that information.
That's the interesting thing about the bombing in downtown Nashville. There was very little information and indication as to why there was stuff that the FBI found.
Alien
out.
People, man. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
The aliens.
Lizard
people.
There was stuff that the FBI found out, but the public was not privy enough to that information.
That situation was swept under a rug.
Yes. So there was the FBI report that just basically said, here's what we believe. But, you know, there was not enough information to access to really leave people satisfied with motivations. Same with the Covenant shooting. There was manifesto. There's stuff that was left on the shooter's phone that, you know, we don't know how much information is actually going to get out there. I do want to give a shout out to Metro Police for the ability to get that information out there as quickly as possible. And
the response time. Like this was not a Uvalde situation. The response time was very well done.
Yeah, and the Metro Police has said that that's a situation that, you know, they've talked about situations like this specifically beforehand, and they've made the decision if something like that happens, then, you know, there's going to be zero hesitation, and there was zero hesitation by the police department and for getting that video out so quickly. So it looks like they're doing everything they can to get as much information as they're allowed to get out, as they can. So hopefully they will continue to do that.
So there's another News Channel 5 article. So the police officers, it looks like they did not engage her from the ground level to the second floor.
Okay.
So it says officers went to the gunfire. When they got to the second floor and saw the shooter, a female, there was 5-member unit that was on the second floor at the time. We know at this point that the shooter is a female. Her identification is confirmed. Okay. So I think they engaged
so they
her
were on the second floor.
Yes.
Okay. Well, even better that they were able to get up there and engage the shooter so quickly. So there's a little bit of information on the shooter in News Channel 5, and all of these links are in the show notes, and we'll have something in the show notes on where you can donate, how you can help on there. I'm gonna see if I can get to more details on News Channel 5. During the shooter had an assault style rifle, an assault style pistol, and a handgun. You can find photos of that online now. Police found maps of the school inside of the suspect's home and surveillance. There was a manifesto, according to News Channel 5. We talked about that she was a graduate of Nazi College of Art and Design. We do know that the individual did identify as transgender. We don't know yet if that has anything to do with the location. I can't remember. I didn't see anything in this article. If the student was a former student at this school.
Yeah, according to the Daily Wire and the Blaze. Yes.
But we don't know if, according to, there's no details on the manifesto yet. So motivation is kind of a big question mark. There's not a whole lot of information to confirm some of the things that are out there just yet.
And we may never have that information.
Yeah.
That's a thing they may sweep under the rug as well.
Some additional information that came out. This article was released. I want to make sure. This was late last night, so didn't even get to hit the news broadcasts. Probably found out a lot of people this morning at 9:57 a.m. So this is 16 minutes before the 911 call. A former middle school basketball team of the shooter looked at her phone to find a message from the shooter on Instagram. This teammate said that she saw the message that the shooter planned to die by suicide and that the teammate would see it on the news. The texts are pretty bad.
You guys can go to the show notes to look at those texts.
Yeah. So you can find
because
those.
We don't want to show any of the names. So,
yeah. And so, the interesting part that I found about this is that, when the teammate that the shooter messaged got that information, she called the Nashville Davidson County Sheriff's Office. Interesting choice instead of a 911.
Typically, they may respond faster.
Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe she was further out in the county, and
yeah.
So.
And maybe that's the easiest number that comes up.
Maybe, yeah.
Most people don't have Metro's hotline in their phone. I do.
Yeah.
Like, that's just one thing I have. And I've had a interesting experience with calling police in this city multiple times.
Well, and this relates to similar to, in a way, when you called, you did not have a lot of good luck with National's non-emergency line.
Yeah, so I've in the last 10 years since I've lived here, I've called 911. Probably close to 35 times. And I've also have called the non-emergency line probably closer to 50 times. And it's just situations I've either been in one situation. I'll just go ahead and talk about it on the podcast. I was pulling into my apartment complex in South Nashville, and there was a woman who approached me, and she was completely naked. She was raped minutes before I saw her. I bring her into my apartment to get her clothes. I'm like, hey, we need to get you. Calm down. What's really interesting about that situation is the two guys that raped her aimed their guns at me and her and drove off. Called the police. Their response time was an hour and a half later.
Was that 911?
911. I called probably close to 12 a.m. They did not respond until 1:30. And I got the license plate number and all this stuff, and they didn't do anything with it. The officer was really rude. It was just a really terrible experience. I ended up reporting the officer. Just a lot of things happened. But because of all of the times I've called 911 and waited on hold or the non-emergency line, it's a really interesting experience that somebody else went through this as well.
So, here's the interesting thing about this particular incident. So the teammate called the sheriff's office, like I said, at 10:13, which is the same time as the 911 call that came in from the school at 10:13 to make them aware of this situation. She was instructed to call Nashville's non-emergency number.
Which I'm surprised they answered in 7 minutes. Like, I've literally, in the last 6 months, I have sat on the phone for the non-emergency number for over 25 to 30 minutes.
So she called the national non-emergency line the next minute at 10:14, was on hold for 7 minutes before speaking with someone who said they would send an officer to their home. An officer did not come to their home until 3:29 p.m.
Sounds about right.
It's very interesting. And we still don't know the context of that. She could have called the sheriff's office. Yeah, you know,
the article is very vague.
Right. Sometimes I like to give the benefit of the doubt and say maybe she called the sheriff's office and she didn't present a very compelling case of what was going on. And so they said, you know, that's something that seems psychological. We'll send a non-emergency line over and they'll get it handled from there. So sometimes you never know. But that is a continuing issue that we know is wait times is something that we know is a problem here in Nashville. I'm sure it will be brought up a little bit more. I'm sure that will be discussed a little bit more in detail from the sheriff's office and Metro PD. One of the things that this makes me think about is Nashville too reliant on the non-emergency line? I'm sure it is freeing up resources for other situations and helping in a lot of ways, but it may be too reliant upon. Sometimes if you send officers to more of these petty crimes, you might have a lot of these petty crimes that are being committed frequently.
Yep.
By people who are committing larger crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may be able to find out a little more information or you may have frequent flyers, you know, people who are committing a lot of these things and notice some patterns if there are more bodies on the scene. So this is that's a little more information. Those texts are probably the newest development that we see here. I'm sure there's going to be another press conference this morning, probably by the time this episode airs, with additional information. So you typically News Channel 5 is pretty up to date with this. That's pretty much all their homepages right now.
And the Tennessee and everyone else.
Yeah.
in the Middle Tennessee market. So if you're feeling led to help give potentially to the families of this tragedy, there's a GoFundMe set up. Nick, go ahead and show my screen real quick. So there's two different fundraisers that you can give to. Right here, and this is in our show notes as well.
Yes, and then you know, always prayers for the family, prayers for the people who are going through this, the school, and everybody involved. But there's also, we found a link to donate directly to the school on their website. It's a link that is typically, I think, always on there. If you go to the school's website to donate, I don't know if it's probably not specifically for those families, but it'll probably go to help in some way. But those, if you're weary about like a GoFundMe, you can probably call the school directly and figure out how to help a little bit more directly. So if you want to let us know any thoughts in the comments, any latest developments, you can comment on the YouTube channel.
Also, we are now on Rumble as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because YouTube is blocking a bunch of stuff. So yep. In the future, Rumble may be our home full time.
There you go. Nick eventually. Nick hit that outro. If for some reason YouTube's blocked a lot of stuff about this shooting that we've seen already. So if for some reason we're not on YouTube, you can find us there on Rumble, same name, Nashville Daily podcast. We'll probably have a few updates on everything if there are more developments tomorrow, but stay tuned. If not, we're going to be talking more national with you tomorrow. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Nashville Daily Podcast. If you want to learn more, head to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com.
You can also follow us on social media at Explore.Nash on Instagram, Nashville Daily Podcast on YouTube, and Explore.Nash on YouTube as well.
The Nashville Daily Podcast is an Explore LLC production, copyright 2023.